I'm having a hard time trying to believe that something dimensional would become physical and then be able to mate, let's say. But I guess if you're saying that they teleported here, basically, where they dematerialized, rematerialized as something physical, is that what happened?
Yeah, it is. And it's kind of hard to say based upon the text because they describe these gateways in numerous texts. The problem is it just doesn't really seem to describe how they functioned. It just tells you what they did. And so I did offer in the book, one of the appendices suggests just a speculation as to how the devices might have worked. And I sort of went, since my background is in technology and science, I sort of went that route, but there are other possibilities that are available. But essentially what I suggest is that if they are this advanced species that it might be superior intelligence to our own, that maybe they've developed something in their realm similar to nanotechnology. And even physicists such as Dr. Michio Kaku has suggested that another dimensional race could essentially open up a very tiny wormhole and then transport information through that because it would require too much power to open up a large, stable mouth for some sort of gateway. But what they could do is open up a very small one and then send information through. And I suggest that maybe they could send information through or tiny little nanorobots, which would then come over to our side, and then they could pick up other materials like raw materials and start constructing the official gateway device, you know, on our end so that it could form a stable wormhole to then translate the beings from their dimension to our own.
On a regular mass basis, I guess. Where do you believe the device might have been made? One or two? How many? And then where was it?
It's hard to say, but essentially they're described all over the world. And usually they were housed in the pyramids, whether it's the Step Pyramids or the pyramids of Egypt, not every pyramid, but many of them. For instance, like the Great Pyramid of Giza. You hear archaeologists, they refer to it as the resurrection machine of the pharaoh, but they don't. Most of them don't actually believe that anything happened. They just say the reason why there isn't a body there is because of grave robbers and things like that. That could be, or maybe the building actually functioned the way that it said and that it really did resurrect the pharaoh, but into another dimension.
So you think it's possible that the pyramids might be these receptors for these dimensional beings?
Yes. Essentially, it's not the pyramids themselves. I think that the shape of the pyramid or just the general structure was meant to convey other symbolic information.
Did the pyramids house the device?
Yeah, generally it was located at the top. For instance, the Mesopotamian ziggurats, they had several different tiers, and at the top they always referred to it as the abode of the gods, where the gods would appear. And there are a lot of times where I think, according to Herodotus, he would say that they would have like high priestesses that would go up there and wait for the gods to appear, and then they would offer themselves to the gods.
Do you imagine what it was like during those times, Craig?
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see, but I really don't know if I'd want to live then or not.
I mean, as a reporter, wouldn't you love to just be able to look at that stuff?
Oh, definitely. Definitely in that context. Yeah, so it's one of those things where I really wish that we could have some sort of way of looking back into the past like that. Unfortunately, I haven't found a way to do that other than just through a study of language.
Okay, why have you ruled out, though, that these creatures could be planetary? Maybe even they came here through portals. Maybe they've learned that form of travel and technology. Why couldn't they come from some other star system?
I haven't completely ruled that out, but essentially, it just doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense. Whenever you think about how far they'd need to travel and all the logistics of it, now perhaps we're just not thinking about it in terms that this advanced race would, and so we're limited in our understanding. But it just makes so much more sense with the gateway hypothesis, especially considering that that's what the text seemed to describe over and over and over again. For instance, a lot of people are familiar with the story of Nebuchadnezzar and the fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the high priests, who are thrown into Nebuchadnezzar's furnace, and they don't get burned up like the other people, but then whenever Nebuchadnezzar looks inside, he sees a fourth being that's described as a son of the gods. So three go in, but four come out.
Hmm.
So that right there, to me, is a definite take on a gateway technology.
And where did it go? Did they pick it up and take it with them? What happened to them?
I'm really not sure. A lot of them, it seems to be that they were deactivated or destroyed somehow. And I actually think that was part of the problem that it was sort of describing in the Nebuchadnezzar story, was that he didn't know how to operate that thing. By the time that he got a hold of one, he just didn't know what to do with it. And so that's why it described how some of the other people were killed operating the device, but yet the high priests were saved. And I think it's because they might have actually known about these gateways and maybe how to operate them. And so they were prepared before they walked into it. So that they wouldn't get destroyed.
Do you think the Ark of the Covenant might have been something like this?
It could have been. It's really hard to say. I've always been interested in the Ark of the Covenant, but it really didn't figure too much into my research.
People died when they touched the Ark.
Yeah, well,
remember when they opened it up or something?
Yeah, there's definitely a technological aspect to it. It's hard to say, but the descriptions just certainly indicate that there was some sort of power to it.
Well, there's no question that something dramatic happened on this planet thousands of years ago. Whether it was an ET visitation, a dimensional visitation, the true, you know, a fallen angels story that you see in Genesis and read in Genesis, something happened on this planet. And is it not true that most cultures all lead in that kind of direction, that something did happen?
Oh, definitely. That's what I found just so intriguing was that you can look at just about every culture on the planet, and every one of them has some sort of story about this contact experience, whether you're looking at the Native Americans, and they refer to the Kachina spirits, which were, again, described with white skin and white hair. You move down to South America, and they refer to Quetzalcoatl, and, again, described with white skin and white hair. You move over to the Middle of the East, and they have these same beings, the Shining Ones, white skin, white hair. You move to Europe, and you have elves, again, described with the same physical features. You even go over to China, and they refer to the Dragon Kings, or the Sons of Heaven. So throughout the entire world, you get these same references to the Sons of God, the Sons of Heaven, the Shining Ones, but the language has changed over time, and I think that that's part of the reason why so many people haven't quite picked up on it, because they just were looking at, like, just looking at Chinese mythology and then just looking at European mythology and not finding necessarily the connections in the original languages.